Harvey Wasserman's Green Power and Wellness Show, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Yes, indeed. We are back at Solartopia here. I am Harvey Wasserman. This is the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We are today going to talk about genetically modified foods. First, I want to talk a little bit about nuclear power and what's been going on there, and then we'll get to our great guest in a moment. Some of you may know I did have a letter published in the New York Times on Sunday laying out some of the problems with nuclear power and how it's just worthless, useless, and phased out. You may want to look at the nukefree.org website, www.nukefree.org, where we talk about the currently raging debate about nuclear power and why we don't need it. And why we are absolutely not going to fly the so-called nuclear renaissance is dead in the water. But somehow the people who are lobbying Congress and a lot of the Congress people haven't quite gotten the message. So if you got a minute, take a look at nukefree.org, and you can look at my letter from the New York Times. I stuck it in my blog section, and I hope you'll enjoy it and certainly take it to heart, because this is a key piece of our campaigning here, is to get rid of nuclear power and to bring in a solartopia based on renewable energy, solar, wind, tidal, geothermal, ocean thermal, sustainable biofuels, increased efficiency, mass conservation, mass transit, all that good stuff that comes with democracy, with social justice, and with peace, not to mention women's rights. So there you go. Today we are going to talk about a piece of Solartopia having to do with agriculture and the growing of food. In the vision of Solartopia, we have a firm commitment to growing food organically and sustainably. And one of the truly horrifying developments in our culture, in such as it is, in our post-industrial society, is how bad our food is and how badly it's raised and how dangerously it's raised, actually. Now, that involves not only chemical agriculture, but also what's being done with our seeds and how food is raised. And, of course, we've had this horrifying development of genetically modified food. And so we have with us today, and we want to go into great detail. I mean, we see our GMO as a big bugaboo on something that's really a problem, but we have Nick Brannigan. Nick, are you there? Hello?
Yes, are you with me? I'm here.
Nick?
Yes, this is Nick.
Nick, how are you? It's Harvey Wasserman. Glad you're with us today.
Great.
You'll be with us for the full hour. We are going to go in great detail. Excruciating detail, genetically modified detail, actually, about what's happening with our food and what Monsanto and all these other companies are doing. I'm looking at your website, whatamieating.com, is that it?
I'm eating what.com.
Oh, so that's a different one. Is I'm eating what different from what am I eating?
Yeah, two different websites.
Oh, cool. All right. Okay, so I am going to go. Did they rip you off, or what's the deal here?
I never heard of them, so.
Well, there I am. This one has got What Am I Eating? And it's got a picture of some really awful looking halibut on it, and that, but that one's not yours. You are whatamieating.com.
I'm eating what.com.
Okay, so I'm going to have to call that one up. You know, the internet is a wild and various place. There's no doubt about it. So tell us, Nick. First of all, let's start from the bottom line here. What is the problem with genetically modified food? Why are you out there fighting genetically modified food?
Well, there's lots and lots of health risks being associated with genetically modified foods. And just one thing I pointed out off the bat is there's in my booklet, I'm Eating What, there's documented health risks in there. But since this booklet's been put out not even 2 months ago, there's already new studies come out against the safety of genetically modified foods.
Well, what about genetically modified food is unsafe?
Well, studies have shown that they've affected the Sertoli cells when fed to rats. Sertoli cells, they're in the testicles. The main function of them is to produce sperm in males. It's also been well documented that it's taken away the body's ability to get rid of toxic substances in the body. And we have an incredible resilient body, and the immune system is very tolerable of a lot of the substances that we take in. And the genetically modified foods have been shown to suppress that ability. Also, it's been shown to affect a lot of the major organs in the body, including the kidney, the liver, the heart, the adrenal glands, the spleen. And this is always in controlled studies most of the time, in compared to these animals being fed non-GM corn and non-GM soy. And there's also, and this hasn't, the other issue that's coming out is how it affects the gut flora. Now, there is showing the gut flora, for those that don't know.
Wait, before you run away here, what is gut flora? Sounds really appetizing.
Yeah, that's the friendly bacteria in the body. See, there's good bacteria and there's bad bacteria.
Uh-huh.
And the good bacteria is what helps us digest food, get rid of it, degrade it. And in one human feeding study, the only human feeding study done, it's showing that the GMO DNA, which the GMO spin doctors say isn't supposed to make it to the small intestine, does make it to the small intestine. And that is affecting, actually changing the DNA of the gut flora of the friendly bacteria in the human body.
Well, tell us, what happens to you when your gut flora gets wrecked? What's the problem?
Well, the body won't have the ability to digest food like it's naturally supposed to. Now, there's a new film coming out yet to be titled, and they have a lot of documentation from farmers and veterinarians showing that they're having, it's not in the cows, but in the smaller animals like the sheep and I forget what they're called, but they're a miniature type cow and goats, that they're having a lot of undigested food. So they're actually being bloated and dying because of that. And they're linking that to the GMO feed that they're being fed. So when your gut flora is not working properly, food doesn't get digested properly. And obviously that's a big problem for human consumption as well as the farmed animals that are being fed this GMO feed as well.
All right, so tell me, what exactly is GMO? What do they do?
And what they do?
Well, let's do that first. What is genetically modified food or organisms?
Three types of genetically modified crops. Well, there's three different ways they genetically modify it. There's more than three types of crops. One way is that they take, they always take a foreign gene, a foreign bacteria, and they insert it into the DNA of a plant. For example, they'll take bacteria, a gene from bacteria, insert it into corn. They'll do the same thing with soy and do the same thing with a couple of other crops, which would never happen in nature. So the first type of crop is a type of crop that produces its own insecticide. This is mainly done with corn and with cotton. So instead of the farmers spraying these crops with this toxic insecticide or pesticide, it actually produces it in the plant. So when you bite into a genetically modified corn that's been modified in this way, you're actually biting into what the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has as a registered insecticide. The second type.
Wait. All right. So now what you're saying then is somehow these mad geniuses have found a way to put an insecticide into the structure of the plant so that when you eat this vegetable or whatever it is, the insecticide, the chemical-based insecticide goes into your body. Is that correct?
Yes. What they use is the BT toxin, which is a natural insecticide that they actually spray on organic corn. But they've taken the gene from that BT toxin and they put it directly into the plant. So instead of being sprayed with the BT toxin, the plant actually produces the BT toxin at a much, much higher higher concentration than it would if it's being sprayed with it.
All right. Well, but this is key, because my understanding is that most plants, or at least many plants, do have built-in insect repellers, and so that when we eat a lot of plants, we do take in some kind of insect repellent that's natural. And so what you're saying is that they've taken, whoever is doing this has taken that natural thing and upped the ante. Is that correct?
It's somewhat correct. A lot of what you're referring to is the plant's natural ability to produce its own natural insecticide, to where it's
right.
not an actual, it's from the plant. Like one example is a compound called Sylvestros, which is found to fight cancer. So certain plants produce Sylvestros so bugs won't eat them. And when we eat these plants, we get the natural Sylvestros from the plants. What they've done is taken a completely foreign gene, foreign to the plant, and artificially inserted it into the plant. So now it produces the insecticide completely away from its natural capabilities. Does that make sense? Did I explain that properly?
I hope you did. I mean, I assume you did. what you're saying is, you know, lots of plants have these natural things, and you're saying as long as it's based in nature, it's okay. But once they start messing with it, it becomes toxic.
Yeah, basically, the natural, what you're referring to is found in plants that are grown in the wild. There's no human intervention. It just does this on its own, the way it's natural DNA it's supposed to make it do. But the ones that we are eating, the corn and the cotton, which is found in cottonseed oil and a lot of processed foods, have been done inside a laboratory. And what I said earlier is the corn is actually registered with the Environmental Protection Agency as a registered insecticide, just like a can of Raid that you would spray on cockroaches is. So
that's very
comforting to know that corn is in the same line as a can of Raid.
A can of Raid. Okay. Well, on your website, your cover sheet, pretty striking graphic actually. People should go to if you want while you're looking. I don't know if you can get two websites simultaneously on your computer, but I'm eating what? imeatingwhat.com. And you've got a big black screen with a skull and crossbones that has GMO across the forehead and then crossed corn like bones. Very appealing. So what corn is a pesticide? Can you tell us what corn to avoid, or can we only just go to the store and look for stuff that's organic?
As far as corn is the most complicated one, because it's in the range of, the numbers are always different, but it's always in the range of 85 to 95% of corn has been genetically modified.
85 now, to 90%?
In the United States and Canada. The number I consistently see is 88%. I usually see a number over 99%. So I'd always say 85 to 95% of corn has been genetically modified. Now, why corn gets complicated is because the problem with cross-contamination through pollen drift. These bugs, or more bees and butterflies, but all types of insects carry the pollen of these corns of the plants when they pollinate them. So this pollen travels hundreds and hundreds of miles, and the pollen that these bugs are carrying actually contains the genetically modified DNA. So if you have a genetically modified corn in one part of a state, and you have an organic corn in another part of a state, it is possible for that organic corn to contain the genetically modified DNA. And the issue with the process of the USDA National Organics Program is they don't test it for genetically modified DNA. They just test it to make sure the farmers are growing the corn in line with the organics program. So it is possible you can buy corn labeled organic, and it will contain the GMO transgenic DNA. The only way to, really with corn, there's almost no way to avoid it 100%. Now, when corn is in processed food, it can be verified as genetically as a non-GMO. There's the non-GMO project where they will test the corn to see if the level of corn is less than 0.09% genetically modified. So at worst case scenario, if you eat corn with the non-GMO verified label on it, it will be less than 1% GMO DNA in it. But the way the corn pollinates, there's no way to avoid it 100%. And when you buy corn and just regular stalks of corn in the store, as far as I know, there is no non-GMO verified corn produce. So that's a roll of the dice. If it's organic, it's your best bet. If it's not organic, there's a 90% chance it's been genetically modified.
Man, that is really depressing. What you're saying then is that the people who introduced genetically modified corn into our ecosystem, planetary ecosystem, have compromised essentially all corn, no matter how it's grown. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, at least in America and in Canada, where these are the two major growing countries, they have, yeah, exactly what I'm saying, they have compromised every bit of corn, and there's no recall on this. You know, if they decide to take genetically modified foods off the market tomorrow and completely make it illegal to grow it, completely make it illegal to ban it, if they switch over to the conventional seeds, that those conventional seeds will still grow with those genetically modified traits for who knows how many years. Like one study I heard went from, I don't know if it was on corn, but it was on a GMO crop, to where they switched it from GMO seeds to conventional seeds, and the study only went 7 years. And those 7 years, all those crops were still grown with the GMO seeds in them. So that's the really, really unfortunate part is that there is no recall. There is no turning back immediately. If we could rid these crops, corn in particular, of the transgenic DNA, it would still take years for that to happen.
We're talking with Nick Brannigan. His website is imeatingwhat.com, imeatingwhat.com. Obviously an expert on genetically modified foods. Not the happiest message I've heard. I mean, you're saying basically that our corn crop is permanently and irrevocably compromised. What about Europe? Should we start importing our corn from Europe or Latin America?
Yeah, that is an option. A lot of companies, they do, when it comes to corn derivative ingredients, and there's hundreds of them, a lot of organic companies will import their corn products from Europe. The European Union rejected genetically modified corn genetically modified ingredients in the late 90s. So we started doing the GMO crops in America in about 95, 96. And it was the same with Europe, but the ball never really got rolling with their GMO corn, or their GMO crops rather, because they just flat out rejected them based on news that was getting read at the time in Europe that doesn't get reported here. So,
well, how'd they do that? How'd they do it in Europe and not here? Aren't we a democracy?
On one level we are. In Europe, what happened, there was a scientist named Arpad Pusztai. I apologize if I'm misspelling his name. He went into, or mispronouncing his name, he was hired to test for the safety of a genetically modified potato. And he was for the process of genetically modifying it. He thought it was a good thing. And when he tested it on rats, he was showing some of the adverse effects that I was talking about earlier. And he went on a national news program, and I believe it was just a 30-second segment. He said that these are a bad idea. We shouldn't genetically modify these foods, and it's the wrong thing to do. And it was, and he actually got fired from his job a couple of days later.
What was his job? What did he get fired from?
I don't remember the exact office, but it was within the government of the European, one of the offices in the in England. A governmental safety assessing position. I don't remember the exact position or the exact department, but he worked for the government. Like, I guess our equivalent to the FDA. And so after he went on the news podcast saying how bad genetically modified food was, a couple days later he was fired from his job. But that 30-second or 60-second clip got so much attention that the consumers of the European Union said that they did not want genetically modified food. in their groceries. So essentially, the biggest, I believe at the time, the biggest grocery company, Unilever.
What's it called?
Unilever. UNILEVER.
Yeah, they're the guys that bought Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
They were unable to genetically modify Ben and Jerry.
that would be bad news.
That would be. So what happened then?
Unilever made a public statement saying that they would no longer carry they wouldn't carry genetically modified products in their or genetically modified ingredients in their products.
Uh-huh.
And a couple weeks later, some of the bigger brands like Nestle followed, and eventually all the major food processors in the European Union said they would not carry these ingredients anymore. And their American counterparts. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why are we stuck with this crap here in the United States and no have in Europe? I mean, that's really infuriating. What happened here?
We've been in the dark about it. The Americans didn't get the proper. There was no media about genetically modified foods being around. When it comes to the mainstream media, they're co-opted by the corporations, and one of the big corporations, obviously, is Monsanto, that is behind genetically modified food. And a lot of these companies like Monsanto, Walmart, McDonald's, when you start to look at the backgrounds of these companies, who's on their board of directors, they're all kind of intertwined at some level. And all these big corporations are intertwined with the media. So you never hear anything about GMOs in the mainstream media. You might read a little article here and there, like on the New York Times website or a company like that, but it's always a spin article saying how good GMOs are. But on the big news companies, the big, like the CNN, the Fox News, MSNBC, on their big news stations and the newspapers, you never actually read you never actually hear anything about genetically modified foods. That's why so many Americans are still in the dark about what they're eating every day.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So do we have any documentation of people actually being harmed by genetically modified food?
Well, there is no documentation because the studies haven't been done. They've been on the market now since, like I said, 96. So we're going on 2 decades, 16 years now. And there's a lot of documentation showing certain food allergies have gone up. Irritable bowel syndrome has gone up in the past 15 years or so. But there's no documentation because no study has ever been done. And a lot of the spin artists will point that out. Well, there's no evidence that there's any harm done to humans. Well, why would you put this food on the market without any testing being done on the possible long-term effects of human health? So there is no documentation, quite frankly, because no one has done the studies.
Well, that sounds awful familiar. Having dealt with nuclear power all these years, we won't go into that right away, but we'll come back to that. What other foods, in addition to corn, are genetically modified that you consider dangerous?
The major crops are, there's five major ones, and that would be corn, like we said, soy, sugar beet, which is, just to go on that, it's not the same thing as cane sugar. If you see sugar listed on a label of food, it's likely to be some beet sugar, which is genetically modified.
Mm-hmm.
Canola oil is the next big one. Cotton, which is in cottonseed oil and a lot of processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
All Hawaiian papaya.
Also, is there any danger in wearing cotton shirts with cotton that's genetically modified?
That's something that's always intrigued me because that's really hard to tell. What I always tell people is when it comes to hygiene cotton products like Q-tips, baby wipes, tampons, buy those organic because those are actually coming into really close contact with sensitive parts of the body. As far as the clothes go, I don't know, you know, if it's dangerous to have these against your skin for hours and hours at a time.
Well,
you
mentioned something that's kind of terrifying. Q-tips, and I suppose tampons made with genetically modified cotton, would that cause problems?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't take the risk, though. You know, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and we still use wipes when it comes to, you know, using the bathroom, if I'm getting into detail.
Mm-hmm.
But we get them organic. And, you know, I didn't go out and throw out all my wardrobe once I started to find this research, but when I do buy new shirts, I buy organic shirts, or shirts made with organic cotton, rather.
Wow.
So it's hard to tell if there's any danger in sticking a Q-tip with genetically modified cotton in your ear. I don't think it would be as dangerous as eating a genetically modified cottonseed product because it's not going into your body. So I think that's more on the lower risk end as far as cotton goes.
All right. Well, we're about to break. We're with Nick Brannigan, who runs the I'meEatingWhat.com website, I-M-E-A-T-I-N-G-W-H-A-T.com, talking about genetically modified food. Nick, you have a free ebook offered at your website. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the free ebook is based on the same title, I'm Eating What, the health risk of genetically modified foods and 10 real world solutions to avoid them. And that's the best part about the book that I like to point out to people is that a lot of the stuff you hear on GMOs is 95% gloom and doom, then 5% a couple things we can do to avoid them. Well, I have 10 solutions that people can implement into their lives to, if you read this book today, at the end of 30 days, you could be completely avoiding GMO foods just by implementing one solution every few days into your life.
All right, we're going to take a break with Nick Brannigan and Genetically Modified Foods. When we come back, Nick, let's talk about those 10 real-world solutions to avoiding ingesting genetically modified food. I also want to talk about the honeybees. I know that's not a GMO issue, but it sure worries me. We are at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I'm Harvey Watson. We're going to listen to the great Dana Lyons for a little bit here and take a break.
Suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam, road rage, asthma, famine, leukemia, it's time to get a better plan. Solartopia is home sweet home to me. That's the future for me. Powered energy, windmills, hydrogen, photovoltaic cells with solar panels everywhere, solar cars, fast trains, bicycles, hydroplanes, get you home in under an hour, clean air, water,
all right, we are with Dana Lyons here singing the Solartopia Rocky Top song. Thank you, Dana. You're just way too cool. I love Dana Lyons. And I love his song there. We're with Nick Brannigan of the I'meEatingWhat.com website. We've been having an extremely depressing conversation about genetically modified foods and how bad they are. And Nick, you have on your website, well, first of all, I want to name some names here. Who's doing this? Who's modifying these foods and why?
Well, it's the major company is Monsanto. Which is probably one of the worst companies ever on earth. And they're right hand in hand with the White House and the FDA. And the big reason of why they're genetically modifying them on the surface is to control the food supply. They have a patent on these seeds to where if a farmer uses these seeds without telling them, they will sue that farmer and take over their farm. Now, I'm not too big on the farming aspect of it, on actual farming, but one thing farmers do from season to season is save seeds so they can replant in the next season. With genetically modified seeds, they don't have that option. So when they go into a country, for example, after the Haiti earthquake a couple of years ago, they donated tons and tons of seeds to the Haitian farmers, and the Haitian farmers rejected the donation. And the reason for that being is they plant those seeds the first time. Next season, they have to buy seeds back from Monsanto, because if they go back to planting conventional seeds, like we said earlier, the conventional seeds will still contain that patented GMO DNA. So they have to buy from Monsanto's year after year.
So legally, they're required?
Legally, they are required. They have an agreement that they would sign with the company, with Monsanto, to replant those seeds year after year.
Did all the farmers in Haiti reject? I mean, they must have been organized somehow.
Yeah, there was a small group of farmers, an actual coalition of farmers. I don't know the name offhand. But when the seeds came in, the leader of that movement met with the head of the agricultural department in Haiti and just totally rejected the seeds. And they even did a public demonstration of burning the seeds.
Wow. Far out. But we wouldn't be able to do that here in the United States now. Is that what you're saying?
They could. Well, the farmers that are already in bed with Monsanto's, they're really stuck. They have to buy from seeds from Monsanto's year after year. So if Monsanto decides to raise the price of seeds, those are the seeds they have to buy. If they go to another competitor and they plant different seeds, then that GMO DNA, if Monsanto's were to test for those seeds, that would be in patent infringement, I believe it would be. And Monsanto would be able to sue that farmer if that farmer didn't have the funding to fight them or to pay a settlement, they're going to take their farm over.
And now, we did have a case like that in Canada, Percy Schmeising, right?
Yeah, he was one of the farmers that actually beat them in court.
How did he do that?
His case, I don't know, without getting into full detail, which I don't know, but his case had to do with the cross-pollination, to where he never even bought their seeds. Somehow, the DNA of Monsanto seeds got into his farm, and that could have been through the cross-pollination from a nearby farm. A truck could have driven by, and the wind could have blew seeds into his farm. So they actually tried to take his farm based on that patent infringement, and the courts in Canada found that they didn't have the right to do that.
All right, so let's review this one. I mean, I read a lot about this case, and I was staggered. Here you have a farmer, and he's raising crops. His neighbor is raising GMO crops.
Mm-hmm.
His neighbor's pollen blows into his field without any kind of invitation or contract or anything. And because the pollen grows into his field and involuntarily on his part modifies his crops, Monsanto comes in and sues him for patent infringement. Did I get that right?
That's precisely it. As insane as it is, that's how it works. They actually just had a case that was thrown out in New York by a bunch of organic farmers and organic seed companies to stop that from happening. And the federal judge said, well, there's no implication that Monsanto would sue these companies for patent infringement in case of cross-pollination. So the case, so they dismissed the case. And it is pretty ludicrous for the most part. But they said Monsanto sues around an average of 13 farmers a year, and I don't know how accurate that is. But they can take over a farm due to, quote-unquote, patent infringement. Totally insane, completely ridiculous.
Even though the people involved didn't actually want their worthless, useless, sickening GMO food. Oh, I guess I'm expressing opinion here. Their GMO food. Now, what happens if you grow corn that's GMO modified, and then you want to switch to wheat or something else? Then what happens?
That would be if Monsanto would decide to go after the farmer and sue them if they still have the corn still has the genetically modified DNA in it. They would have to go to court, and they would have to test their crop, but they could get them for patent infringement if the DNA is still in their corn. If they, you know, how often they do that, if they go by a case-by-case basis, I don't know. But
what I'm saying is, let's say you're a farmer and you've made the horrible mistake of buying in and planting Monsanto's GMO corn, and then you say, well, I've had enough and I'm going to grow wheat. And I'm not going to use genetically modified wheat. Can Monsanto still sue you?
I don't think so. Because as far as my research has gone, is that corn is only going to cross pollinate with corn, and like species will cross pollinate with like species. So that wheat shouldn't have the GMO DNA in it from the corn. But that's a little past my expertise. So who knows? But I think they would have a hard time suing someone over a wheat crop when they used to plant their corn. So I really doubt that.
That's wheat as opposed to weed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, wheat. Yeah, gotcha.
Sorry about that. Okay, so let me ask you a rhetorical question here. You have a company, and they have planted genetically modified stuff, and you are a farmer, and you have most definitely not planted genetically modified stuff. But the genetically modified pollen blows into your crop, and then Monsanto sues based on the genetic modifications that are involuntary that happen to your crop. How would you compare that to rape?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that's one of the things where I actually don't go. And it, not even just with the cross-pollination, but the whole process of making the seed into a genetically modified seed is they actually have to force it in, force that new DNA into the seed. And it doesn't always stick, and they do it multiple times until it does stick. And I tell people, I never said this publicly even in my work, but I tell people personally, it's like raping the seed. You know, forcing something into it that it doesn't want and having to do it multiple times until the seed accepts it, well, not really accepts it, until it sticks. In a very imprecise manner, is kind of raping the seed.
Right. And, of course, according to Rick Santorum, abortion is not allowed. So once the seed is raped they have to conceive, I suppose. Anyway, so this is a nightmare. Now, it's always important for an organizer to have a way out. On your ebook here on imeatingwhat.com, Nick Brannigan, you have 10 real-world solutions to avoid the health risks of genetically modified food. So I'm going to click on the free book here, and I hope people listening in will also do that. We are, by the way, at 888-874-4888. I always get involved with interesting guests like you and forget to give the phone number. So 888-874-4888. Please call in and talk to Nick Brannigan if you like. But Jim, okay, you got a beautiful little girl on your cover here. Looks not too happy about what she's eating. And let's see what these solutions are. Who benefits from GMOs? Of course, that's Monsanto. By the way, you know, I read a history of Monsanto. Do you know what Monsanto means in Italian?
No, what does it mean?
My saint.
Oh.
You know, the people who founded Monsanto way back a century ago were devout Catholics. And Monsanto means my saint.
Saint or Satan?
Yeah, well, there you go.
That might be a little more appropriate.
Yeah, but saint is the technical Italian translation. So, solution number one, stop making excuses, okay? What do you think? What's that mean?
That's the most important one, in my opinion, is that people in America, we're on what we call the standard American diet, which is basically processed and refined garbage. But we've been force-fed this stuff since we were children, and it's hard for our minds to accept change in a lot of cases.
Is it garbage or is it poison? Or both?
Poisonous garbage is probably the most important, more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the genetically modified goes, it's more than poison and garbage at the same time, in a whole different light. But a lot of people, they don't want to get out of their comfort zone and make the proper changes. So they just rather keep feeding their kids knowing this information and thinking everything's going to be okay. So
all right.
So
we acknowledge the problem, right?
Yeah, we acknowledge the problem, we stop making excuses, and we start making change.
All right, so solution number two, know your ingredients. And you've got a yellow box here, and it says corn, canola, soy, sugar, all with exclamation points, and then smaller, it's got aspartame, which I've done a lot of writing about. And those of you who want an excuse to go look at Hustler magazine, I have a big piece in Hustler about aspartame, alfalfa, Hawaiian papaya, zucchini and squash. All right, so what are the ingredients we got to watch out for, and what are the red flags indicating GMO food?
Well, if you read in the package, there's a lot of corn and soy derivatives, like MSG, monosodium glutamate is one. Xanthan gum is a derivative of corn, maltodextrin. Basically, if you don't know how to pronounce it, or if you pronounce it and you don't know where it comes from, it could be GMO. If it's not GMO, it's artificial, which is probably the next worst thing. When you bring up the honeybees earlier, non-organic honey can contain that genetically modified pollen. And there's also been going back to the cross-contamination and not able to recall this crop, some long grain rice that was genetically modified over a decade ago is still on the market as of a couple of years ago. Same thing with flaxseed in Canada. They stopped genetically modifying flaxseed in Canada in the year 2000. In 2009, they found genetically modified flaxseed. So those are more of the lower risk ones, but they're to be considered in addition to the major crops that we named earlier. Another one, hidden source that I'm big on that could be genetically modified is quote-unquote natural flavors. A lot of times there's corn derivatives in those that we're not aware of.
Natural flavors can also include aspartame, I believe.
Oh, is that a fact? I didn't know that.
I think it can. But go ahead.
That's a good enough reason to avoid them. Now, moving on to the next solution, which is number three, is look for the non-GMO Project Verified label. So if you do see these ingredients on there, but they have the non-GMO Verified Project, non-GMO Project Verified label on them, then they have been tested, and they contain less than 1% of any transgenic or GMO DNA in there. So those are usually okay. Same thing with organic, too. But again, going to the cross-pollination, if you see organic and it contains a soy or, more importantly, a corn derivative, it's a judgment call if you want to eat that or not. Personally, I try to eat organic and non-GMO Project Verified when I do eat packaged food.
But organic, as you've mentioned, organic could actually still have GMO.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to look for that, for the non-GMO Project Verify label.
Now, who is the non-GMO Project?
It's a third-party verification company to where companies will send their product in to – no, they don't send their product in, but they send their products to get tested, sign up to have their products get tested. And usually after harvest, the non-GMO Project will test the crop, being corn, soy, canola, whatever, to see if there's any genetically modified DNA in it. And if it's 1% or higher, then it gets rejected and they're not allowed to bear the seal. If it's less than 1%, 0.09 or lower, then they can have their products labeled as non-GMO verified. So it's a third-party system that's actually doing a very good job of listing all the products on their website at non-GMOproject.org, which are currently verified.
Now, is this a non-profit organization, non-GMOproject.org?
Yeah, it is a non-profit organization.
And where are they based?
Out of the state of Washington.
Okay, and you must know these
right
people.
Now, they just do American and Canadian products. They don't do anything outside of those two countries.
Wow. All right, number four, standard American diet, which we call SAD, consists mostly packaged, high-processed, refined foods. This type of eating is not exclusive to Americans. Most of these so-called foods contain GMO ingredients. Did you write this, Nick?
Yes, I did.
So-called foods. We're getting a little dicey here, but that's fine. So far, very few whole foods have been genetically modified. All right, so what do you mean by whole foods?
Whole foods would be what you would find in the produce section of your grocery store. I would say getting more of the organic sections. Foods, by whole foods is foods that are not in a package, something that you don't necessarily open up a box, then open up a plastic bag to get inside of them. Because those foods are, people are estimating 80% genetically modified. I'd say near 100% of food that you find on the actual shelves have been genetically modified. Like whole foods are your whole vegetables, your whole grains like buckwheat, raw nuts, beans, sweet potatoes, avocados. You got your oils too, which are not technically whole foods, but they're unprocessed, like olive oils, coconut oils, your fruits. Very few of these have been genetically modified. So if you have a meal consisting of all whole foods, for example, if you cooked some vegetables with a sweet potato as a meal, which is a meal, people say those are sides, to me that's a meal, there's nothing genetically modified in that. So the more people switch over to whole foods, one thing I recommend is to start your day, just to start to make the change, have one whole foods meal a day. And that's at least one meal a day you're getting away from genetically modified organisms.
All right, what is genetically modified? We talked a lot about corn. The number two in the U.S. was soy, and God knows everybody eats soy. Mm-hmm. How bad is soy? What's the deal?
Soy, it's the second biggest crop. I believe it's 95% of soy has been genetically modified.
Jeez.
The difference in cross-pollination, without getting into great detail about it, is that soy doesn't pollinate the same as corn.
Uh-huh.
So if soy is organic or non-GMO verified, it's the leaf right now is that it should be safe from the cross-pollination. Personally, I would still go for the non-GMO Project Verified. But again, one thing I didn't point out is a lot of meats. Meats and animal products, dairy products, are heavily contaminated with genetically modified organisms.
Well, they eat that. I mean, you know, 90% of the grain we grow in this country goes to fat and beef cows. I mean,
yeah,
the number one agricultural product in this country is cholesterol.
Yeah, that's precisely why is that most of the GMO crops, I believe the GMO crops themselves, 80% goes to feed these factory farm animals, and
right.
That transfers into the flesh and transfers into the milk and to the eggs of these animals. So when you eat eggs, dairy, meat that are non-organic, you are getting some of that genetically modified DNA.
Does that translate into farm-raised fish as well?
It could. Fish is one of the things I don't know too much about. Fish is the only flesh product that has been, they have certain brands that have been non-GMO verified.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that there are fish companies that are enrolling in the non-GMO verified project, I would think that it would transfer into farm-raised fish if they are fed these GMO crops.
Okay. Foods to avoid, again, you mentioned corn and soy. What are the primary foods to avoid? To avoid GMO?
The primary ones, corn, soy, canola oil, sugar that isn't cane sugar or organic, We could talk about aspartame all day. Just avoid aspartame anyway.
Oh, aspartame deserves, not only does aspartame deserve an entire show or two, but it also deserves Donald Rumsfeld going to prison. But we'll talk about that another time. Yeah.
Yeah, there's another saint for you.
Well, he's not Monsanto. He may be your Santo. I'm sure he's not yours either. Okay.
Another big one too this is something I've only found out about a year or so ago, but a lot of vitamins contain tons of genetically modified derivatives in them.
Oh my God!
Sucrose, fructose. These all come from either sugar or corn. So if you take vitamins, either take them from whole food sources or organic vitamins. And that's just the food ingredients that we're talking about. These synthetic vitamins, a lot of them have been made from a genetically modified microorganism. That's a whole other topic to go on, and there's so many different synthetic vitamins, and it's so hard to track which ones are GMO and which ones aren't. It's just best to completely take whole food and organic vitamins.
Wow. All right, now, Fusion 5, Nowhere to Shop. This is Nick Brannigan we're talking with. He's got a website, imeatingwhat.com, which has a free book, and we're going through 10 solutions how to deal with avoiding genetically modified foods, and we are at 2:54. We have 6 minutes left. Jesus, you're a very good guest, Nick. You're very articulate, so I'm glad to have you on. You adhere to the cardinal rule of radio, which is never be boring. So Nowhere to Shop, you're saying here that Whole Foods and Trader Joe's may be good, but then you go on and say that Trader Joe's claims that all their products are free from GMOs but does not label them as such or take any steps to verify them as non-GMO.
Yeah, so the point I'm trying to make to people here is this is when I had people review this book, I got a lot of flack about this page. But Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, they have all the products that are organic, all the products that are non-GMO. But don't walk into these places, into these stores, trusting that everything in the store is non-GMO. If I pick up a Trader Joe's brand food and I see there's a soy product in it and it's not organic and it's not non-GMO verified, they need to prove that it's not genetically modified instead of just saying it is.
Right.
I shop at both of these stores on a weekly basis. So they are one of the best options, but just don't trust everything in the store. And as far as conventional stores go, the main reason I say to avoid them, until you get educated at least, because a lot of these stores have little organic sections in the store, but they blur the line between quote-unquote natural products and organic products. A lot of these so-called natural products can contain genetically modified ingredients. And people think it's natural. They see a box of crackers next to an organic box of crackers, and they think they're the same thing, and they're not. So it's until you know your ingredients, avoid conventional grocery stores. But again, shop at Trader Joe's, shop at Whole Foods, but don't trust that every product in there has not been genetically modified.
All right, let's run through the remaining steps of your 10-point program here. Make a plan. What's that mean?
Know what you're eating before you wake up in the day. It's as simple as sitting down and the night before and planning breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or at least to start with until you get used to doing it. Just plan one meal. Because when you're in a situation where you might be running late and you pull through that fast food line, and if you're eating fast food, you're eating GMO in every bite you eat. But when you plan your meals ahead of time, it's easier to avoid GMOs.
Okay, the next step?
That would be there's a labeling campaign. The solution says start a grassroots labeling campaign, but this has been started in California. So if you live in California, and this is a big one, between now and mid-April, they're collecting signatures to get all genetically modified food in California labeled. So they're going to need roughly 800,000 signatures. And if they get those 800,000, in November of this year in California, the residents of California will get to vote on if they want all their packaged food in California labeled as genetically modified. And if
okay,
that passes,
all you Californians listening in, make sure you sign the petition. Your next step?
Next step is solution 8, support non-GMO groups. They're all listed on here. There's a lot of great groups that do a lot of good work on genetically modified foods. Most of them are non-profit, and a small donation here or there would be very supportive.
And I suppose I'm sure your group, I'm Eating What, is supported by donations as well. Eatingwhat.com. Ninth solution, take advantage of social networking.
That would be, take this interview when it's archived and post it on Facebook, Twitter. If you have those accounts, take non-GMO videos and post them on YouTube, and you could have 100 to 1,000 friends on Facebook that have no idea about GMOs. You could post an interview like this or just a simple picture on your Facebook, and 10% of them could actually change their eating habits based on one little move you make.
So everybody listening in, when you download this, go ahead and send the URL everywhere. I'll get a URL for you, Nick, as soon as we're done or within a short period of time. So number 10, keep talking about it. What does that mean?
This is just a simple thing, is that people look at me like I'm crazy when I talk about, people in my daily life look at me like I'm crazy when I say I won't feed my daughter this food. And we get embarrassed that we eat different from everyone else, when in fact they should be embarrassed they're eating this toxic stuff and not knowing about it. So we got to kind of let go of our insecurities and our fear of criticism, and without forcing our beliefs on people, just talk about them whenever we can. And you might talk to 10 people and one of them might actually, something might click and they might change their eating habits. But don't be embarrassed about this. This is what's backwards in our society, is we get embarrassed from doing what's healthy and what's doing what's right versus just going with the flow and going with the crowd and eating this garbage.
All right, Nick Brannigan, you've been a great guest. Our
appreciate
you. Very good. We'll have to have you back. I'm eatingwhat.com, Nick Brannigan, GMO foods, scare the hell out of me. But, that's the way we go. So we'll take care of us, we'll deal with it, and we'll keep on fighting. This has been the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Harvey Wasserman, your host. Nick Brannigan, the guest today, talking about genetically modified foods. Next week, another show for getting us to Solartopia. Thanks so much, and do spread this URL.